Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With we'll tonight's guest, actor, writer, director, Matt Yang King.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Australian singer, songwriter, Maya McLean. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Wow, it is just hard for me to believe, but I'm believing it, and I'm pinching myself at the same time because it's that exciting and wonderful that we have been on the air as the Life Changes Show for 8 years. This is officially our 8th year show. And the date was actually this coming Thursday, so we're going to celebrate then too. But we're celebrating together with you all, our fans, on the air right now. And thank you to you all, for those of you who have been with us from the beginning. And of course, Mark Leger and Dorothy Lee Donahue and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, have certainly been here from the beginning. And what a journey it's been. And we've covered so many things and worked with so many people and gotten to talk about so many different things. And yesterday was a beautiful representation of Life Changes. The Enlightenment Music Series puts on classical events throughout the year for the past, I think, 11 years. And they do this as a service to the community for free and all that. But yesterday, and I've been master of ceremonies for each of the events for at least a couple years, I think, since we had Marina Manoukian, a violinist and friend now, on our show about 2 or so years ago for the first time. And so the interesting thing about yesterday's show was that she brought together 21st century composers. They were all alive and they were all there, all in the same room, and their music was being presented. And it was quite a challenging thing to do, but that's the kind of people that we love being around and associated with and partnering with. And so yesterday, as master of ceremonies for that event, I did something really interesting. I noticed somebody who was a composer that I knew in a previous life, so to speak. So when I came to Los Angeles about 20 or so years ago, I would go to the Brand Library, and I would go to the music section there, and the music department is so strong. So as an aspiring singer, I went there to research music and all that, and there was one particular person who was the librarian there, and he helped me. He helped me a lot, and I would spend hours there. And one of the things I didn't say is actually he would find so many different ways to tell me they were closed, because I would be there for hours and hours and hours, and would be there for hours more if they hadn't closed a half hour, an hour before, and he'd wait until the end. He's like, "Now we're really closed," and the lights would go out, and he's like, "You really have to go now." So I saw that he was one of the composers there being represented, and his name is Blair Whittington. And so publicly on the microphone, I thanked him for helping me during those times, in a sense shaping me musically as he would give me suggestions and all of that. And afterwards, when he came up to thank me for saying that, and he was a bit emotional, I thought, I said, you know what, that wasn't just for me. That was for all the people who didn't think of thanking you in this way, or in whatever way they could, to come back and say, "Hey, I was able to do this thanks to some of what you did." And so this is kind of a way to say, I had a moment where I got to stop and say thank you to somebody. And I'd like to encourage for all of us to think about these people and say thank you as we go through our lives. And so I was glad to have that opportunity yesterday. And I am so glad to have the opportunity to be sitting here in the studio with our guest, Matt Yang King, and to have joining us Maya McLean, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Marga, and happy anniversary, Mr. Life Changes You.
Happy anniversary, and what a great monologue, because this is the perfect opportunity to say thanks to each other. You know, 8 years, really, it seems like a lifetime, and I'm definitely a different person, and the fact that we're on the air is one thing. The life changes that we've been through, that we've endured together, shared with each other, is one thing. The fact that we've been on the air and haven't missed a week is such a testament to you and to Dorothy and so many different obstacles and hurdles and journeys and surprises along the way. And I just really want to express my gratitude for who you are, who Dorothy is, and who we've been and grown to be together for 8 years now.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. And you just did what I was saying that we should be doing more of. So perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So our guest has interesting stories of his own, and we are so happy to have him here. I have known of him. I've met him a couple times, but Mark, I know that the two of you have connected, your friends, actually. So we have titled this show Full Steam Ahead. He might tell us exactly why a little later, but he is an award-winning actor, a writer, and a director. He has starred in so many things, and we'll talk about some of those in a little bit. And I do want to say this part. I mean, the TV shows, it's kind of fun. From Friends to Bones, Frasier to 24. I mean, he's done so much with so many people. And I think this is really cool. I didn't expect this when I learned this about him. He was in the traveling Broadway show Titanic, the musical that went around like 38 states or something for 486 shows and then landed in Los Angeles. So there's some place that the Titanic actually did land and did a good thing. So we have Matt Yanking with us. Oh. Welcome to the show.
And on that note,
wow.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Try the veal. Thank you both for having me on the show. Really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for being here.
I'll add my thanks. I really love that monologue at the front. I mean, it reminded me of this old Sufi saying that basically there's this man who does this great thing for people. And so God basically says, hey, you know, what do you want? What do you want as a reward? And he said, well, I want to do good for people, but I don't want to know about it. And God thinks that's such a great thing that he gives it to everybody.
Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
Who was this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that. Really appreciate it. No, it's actually, it made me think of a tribute to a woman, and this sort of showed up in my life today, a woman named Pat Mullen. She was my voice teacher back at NYU. And I want to give you a really short tribute to her life, because you know, we can sit here and talk about what I've done, but really, at the end of our lives, we're a catalog of all the small touches that other people have had on our lives, right? You know, the things that are going to be said after we're gone are never the things that we were expecting. It's always, you know, when I was 5, he gave me a carrot. You know, you never know what it is. And Pat was the woman who taught me inspiration. You know, we get our inspirations from various people, but inspiration literally means to breathe. To inspire. And so she taught me to breathe. She was my voice teacher. And she was this incredible lady. She's 6 feet tall. She'd studied with Kristen Linkletter, who was this, you know, amazing voice teacher. And she sort of brought that every day to class. And she had this huge booming voice that would go out over everybody. And she was this closet geek and sort of brought me into her world when she started writing this novel called The Stone Movers. And we would bond over it and talk over it. And I had her for 3 years, and she changed my life. She changed the way I speak. She opened up my voice. She taught me, you know, she said, I remember I was in class and she said, every day that you have been in school, from when you first walked in the door till you when you've got me, people have told you to sit down and have a longer attention span. to sit down and think and think. And to do that, she said, you have to shorten your breath. You have to shorten the ability that you breathe. You shorten the amount of lung that you'd use. She said, have you ever heard a baby get hoarse screaming? You know, have you ever heard a child, like, get a scratchy throat? But suddenly, as we become adults, because we don't know how to breathe anymore, this thing that we're given from day one, we learn how to shorten it and shorten it, shorten it, shorten it, just so we can pay attention. And she says, I'm going to teach you how to pay attention with energy. And so she was just saying, yeah, absolutely amazing, energetic woman. And, you know, she taught me for years. One of my favorite things is she would go and we would do this class and she would say, King, take. Because I would go around and I would be fixing, you know, this is the director in me. So I would be going around fixing everybody and going, hey, you could do this and maybe your posture needs to be like this. And she would stop, just take.
Take.
And that was one of her, you know, that was another lesson. So she was an amazing woman who taught me all these amazing lessons, this huge force in my life. And then years later, you know, this is after my first child is born, I remember receiving a phone call and one of my classmates called up and said, hey, Pat's dead. And I went, what? Mm. It was just this sudden, like, what? Wait a second. Like, literally, like an anchor you didn't know you had pulled out from your life. And I went, what happened? And he goes, she committed suicide. Oh. And it was crazy. It was crazy because, there's always a person in your life who you cannot imagine reaching that kind of depth. Mm. And I went, what happened? And he says, well, she jumped off the 20th floor of her building. So this is just getting worse. This is just at what point does that happen? You know, she lived on Jane Street in New York City in this old cobblestone, you know, area. And, you know, at what point? So I went and I said, I got to find out what went on, what happened. And I found out all these things. I found out during the years that she had taught us, she had had stage 4 cancer. And all the 3 years that she had taught, I had never had any idea, right? So all those years that she was gifting me and giving me and giving me and giving me and telling me, she was undergoing some of the worst stuff in the entire world, right? And I found out she was this crusader for LGBT rights, and she was a lesbian who didn't feel that it was necessary to share that with her students, but this was just an inherent part of her life. And then going back and reading her book, this book that we had shared these geeky moments over, I was reading it, and I was going, oh, wow, okay, so the LGBT is in there. And the act of moving stones, because it's called the stone movers, the act of moving stones that refuse to do that. And one of the things that she has in this sci-fi book is that people, once they learn how to move these stones enough, can learn how to fly, right? Because the object is basically, once you've learned how to push something with your mind, eventually what can you do? You can push against the ground and you can actually move yourself, which is a great metaphor.
Right.
And I went, and I suddenly got it. I went, Pat, you know, that's it. You know, I had found out that she had lost her life partner of 20 years, literally had been hit in a weird accident. So she was like, I lost my life partner. This cancer came back. There's one thing that I've never experienced in all of my life. I've given my students all of these things. I've never flown. And so she goes up on top of her building, and that's what how I like to think about it, right? That's how I like to think about her. But the amazing thing was literally the weeks after I'd done this research on her, I went to sleep and I had this dream of going back to class, going to 42nd Street, being late, running to class. And I get there and I show up in class.
You actually late in your dream?
I mean, I was late in my dream. I'm late that much that I was late in my dream. And I show up in class and there she is. And she was glowing. And she wasn't glowing like with light around her. She was glowing like you tell a pregnant woman, oh, you're glowing and you have a great haircut. You know, it was just, it just looked like she was like really healthy with a great haircut. And I ran over and she just enveloped me in this huge hug. And she basically said, hey. And I was like, I heard all this stuff about you. And I thought you were gone and I was wrong. And I'm so glad I'm wrong. And she goes, Matt, you're going to be okay.
Wow.
Right. And then right after that, she said, Tell everybody I'm okay, okay? And then I woke up, and I was just bawling tears and stuff like that. And I went, and I literally called everybody in my class, and I went, just wanted to let you know, Pat tells you she's okay. And it's been this thing that I've taken with me, because the thing that we want from the people who provide us inspiration in our life, the people who provide us the impetus to go forward, the cue balls, you know, in our life. We always want them to tell us that we're okay, that we're, you know, be it our parents or be it our mentors or whoever, we want them to tell us that we're okay. And I like to think, you know, either in my own apophenic desire that, it's, you know, something in my own mind or that she actually visited me. I like to think that her parting shot was to go, hey, you're okay.
Wow.
That's my tribute to Pat Mullen.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Now we can talk about my stuff if you want to, but wow. I think she's far more interesting.
Wow.
You
know.
Wow. Well,
thank you for sharing. Yeah. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you for sharing that, actually. Let's take a quick break and then let's dive into some more about Matt. And that's a great way to start, and I'll tell everybody why when we come back. Because it really shows something about you. So we'll be right back with Matt Yang King and a little later on, Maya McLean here live in the studio on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Matt Yang King. And wow, what a riveting story you told us, and what a lesson and a moral. And this goes to show who you are. And Mark's been telling me this for a while, and I thought I felt it when I met you. Here you are. You're here on our show, technically, to talk about you, and you take that moment to talk about somebody else. And it reminds me of another interview I saw where you were talking about your fellow actors and how great it was to work with them and all that. And there it is. Matt's not taking. He's still giving. And we are grateful that you do. So
thank you
for being there.
I mean, that's what we do as actors, as directors, as writers. And that's what I think the greatness of Hollywood is that, you know, like on my business cards, it doesn't say CEO, right? Because why be a CEO? If you can be anything else but put CEO on your card, why not do that?
And this is for your business.
Right. For my business. Yeah. Well, yeah. For my entertainment business. Right. And so it says fabulator on that card. And a fabulator is a word, is literally someone who tells fables in a fantastical universe. That tends to be what I do. But, you know, that every fable, every story that you tell has to be based in truth. You know?
Yeah. Speaking of, actually, I think this is interesting because I know you have an interesting perspective on this. Where are my words today?
Yeah, try that again.
It's 8 years. It's been 8 years. It's been 8 years. It's been a long time.
I was going to say, I'm just so, you know,
starstruck with you here.
No,
that's what
but
I was
okay.
Say.
Thank you. I appreciate
take,
that.
Take Matt. Take it.
Take
I'll
it, Matt.
Take it. Take it. Okay, I'm taking. Taking. Thank you.
Now see, that was a lie. But but actors, you know, it's people say, "Well, you're an actor," and I've heard that to imply like, "Well, you lie.
You
for
can
a
lie
living.
For a living."
Yeah,
exactly. And that's exactly the opposite of what it is. Because the people who are the truly good actors are the actors who tell the truth, right? The people who are so honest that it doesn't matter what backdrop that they have, they're telling an experiential thing that hits you. Mm. Because if it's not truthful, it's not going to hit you. It's absolutely, it's going to pass you by. And that's why I think, you know, certain things, like I constantly tell stories in science fiction universes. And that's why I feel that a lot of sci-fi tends to miss, is because people forget that no matter whether you're on a planet with a blaster, if you're not telling a story that means something to someone, then you'll miss every single time.
Well, and that's a lot of people don't understand the depth at how actors can absorb that when they're truly telling the truth. Some of the challenges they come across when they're really owning the challenge, the character.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of time when you end up with substance abuse and stuff like that because it's so hard, because it's a very scary thing to get in there. I mean, to really get into that emotion and dwell in it for a very long period of time, it's not pleasant. And so, you know, if you're, you know, or it can be incredibly pleasant and then you're trying to fill in those gaps, you know. So trying to do that sometimes leads people to find these edges and like that, and they end up getting lost in the cracks.
Yeah. You know, you're very down to earth. You have a very stable family and three children and a wife and all that.
There are a lot of them.
And
they're men. It's a horde, which is so weird because when you're growing up, you're never like, you have a brother and a sister? Like, you never say that.
Right.
But as an adult, suddenly you talk to people and you tell them you have three children. They're like, three children? It's like you've been to Vietnam.
See, now.
Right? Like, what? Oh, my God.
What? Now, see, that's
you
not
have
where
three
I was going
children?
With this.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but I have to add that anybody that's met your children also, they're like you. They're next level. They're cerebral. They're wise beyond
their
awesome.
Years.
It's,
they're awesome.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Except for the middle one. No, actually, she's awesome.
Oh, wow. I'm a middle child, so ouch.
No, they're all exceptional.
For all you
she's
little
actually
children out there, he didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Years from now, she's gonna listen to this when she's 13, and then just like totally like, great dad, thanks. Thanks so much.
So this is where I was gonna go with that, is that, yes, you play some intense characters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have built a life where you are able to balance that out because some of those characters are pretty fierce.
Yeah, they're hard to deal with. There was one there was one that I dealt with where it was in a movie with Ron Perlman and Lily Sobieski, and the whole thing surrounded this really awful, nasty thing up on the front of the movie, and I remember, like, how do I deal with being this awful human being? And because a lot of the time you compartmentalize that and you don't want to bring it home. But for me, sometimes I embody the characters so deeply that my wife's like, why are you acting like that? Like, and it's like, I'm taking a little bit of this character home. And so I didn't want to take this character home. So there was this really, like, specific desire at the end of every shooting day to try and make a break.
Wow.
And make whatever I was doing with the character comedic from then on.
Wow.
To the point where when my character was killed and he literally has a pen thrown through his hand and he gets like cut up
you
and messed
up. You can
die
from that?
Yeah. No, he gets slashed and he gets hit with a machete. Right. It's awful. But I decided, you know, on my last day of shooting to I was like, don't take off the makeup. I'm going home with this. And I went home.
Oh, great.
And my wife wasn't home. And no, this is before I get. And my wife wasn't home. And I remember I was like, I called her up and I was like, when are you coming home? She's like, I'm coming home right now. And I was like, fantastic. And I just, I laid down in this broken position on the ground in the entryway of our place. And I remember her opening the door and just, and then it's just me laughing. She's like,
Funny, oh, not funny.
And yet we're married.
And she's still married.
Still married. Still married.
Wow. Well, I wasn't going to go over there with that either. So, you know, one place that I actually would like to go there, your characters actually, I did note this, are intense, are fierce. And, you know, you're an Asian American playing those characters where a couple of years ago, that role might not have gone to an Asian American, and maybe it's gone to you because you're you. So,
well, the thing that I've noticed in the last couple years, and literally it's only been the last couple of years, has been that the roles that I've gotten, it hasn't mattered that I'm Asian American, and that's the best thing ever.
Interesting.
I'm just a human being.
Interesting.
Right, and that's the best thing in the entire world. Before that, it was, you know, and you know, you can't. I'm playing a stereotype to a certain extent, where it's been. And it's been a boon in certain ways, you know, because there's somebody who's specifically asking for me and specifically asking for someone who looks like me. So I can't say this hasn't provided me a living. I can't disparage it. But to not recognize the fact that then I am coming in and I'm perpetuating stereotypes. Mm. I'm going, every role that I play, I'm saying, get him. Or I'm playing a bad guy who's speaking with an accent, you know, because quote unquote, he's from there, you know, or I'm disseminating information, you know, walking in and being the tech agent to go in and say this and so some white guy can go deal with it. And for years, that became me going, okay, I'm the furniture. You know, I'm the furniture. I'm not the interior designer of my life. I'm the furniture. And so that actually became why I started writing, was I wanted to write roles that people felt they could wrap their brains around, that were about being ethnic, that were about racism. I wrote this script called The Harrowing that won the Hollywood Foreign Press Young Screenwriters Award.
Yeah.
And so we had the script, and the problem was it was an African-American lead in a horror film. And so, you know, this script has been in development hell for 5 years because people go, black people in horror films, who's going to watch that?
Wow.
And it became, and now that Get Out has suddenly broken out and become this amazing thing.
And to get an award, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So now people are suddenly putting heat on this script and this idea. And it always goes to show you that it doesn't, you know, who's the Sidney Poitier who's going to go in and break down the barrier and open up that. And at a certain point, I went, it's got to be me. It's got to be me and every guy like me who's not willing to say the same things. Because, I mean, and I'll tell you two stories. So one is a humiliation story. So this is me literally outside of school. And I remember walking to my first audition. And I walk in and the guy goes, here's your necktie. Here are your chopsticks. Oh. At that point, I should have gone, like, okay, what's going on here?
Wow.
And they go in and they go, okay, so this is accented. So they want this really heavy accented thing. And they go, okay, so you're at a sushi bar and you turn to your right and there's a bear there, right? And the bear hands you a beer and he says, I'm from Canada. And you say, I am from Japan, right? Oh. And then we're going to cut. No, you should, because this is absurd. And then we're going to cut, and we want you to stand on the table, put the necktie around your head, and then you're going to sing Sweet Caroline as loud as you can. And literally, I had this Alan Rickman.
Like the Neil Diamond song?
Yeah. And I had this Alan Rickman-like moment where I'm standing on this table, you know, just out of school going, Sweet Caroline, oh. And I'm going, why? What am I doing with, you know, Alan Rickman is just running through my head going, I went to RADA for this.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
I studied
Midsummer Night's Dream.
It's not funny.
What would my voice teacher say?
Yeah, exactly. What would my voice teacher say? She would say, take the job. Take the money, cash the check.
Right.
You know, and then it was funny because years later, I booked a different commercial, and I remember it was voiceover. I remember standing on the other side of the glass, and I'm looking at these two executives, and they're sitting there and they're discussing. And again, it was in a Japanese voice, and I was like, I'm 15 years in, I'm doing the same thing. And they were sitting there going, discussing the word better, right? And one was going, no, it should be better, and the other one's going, no, it should be better, better. Right.
Wow.
And they're both going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I was going, it's 15 years long, and I haven't.
And it hadn't gotten better.
It hasn't gotten better, and I haven't I haven't stood up to it.
Oh, wow.
Right? And so they turn to me in that moment, and they go, Matt, what do you think? Which one do you think it is? And at that moment, I went, this goes no further. And I went, which do I think better serves the character, or which one offends me less as an Asian American?
Good for you.
Right?
Wow.
And that was, and they, wow. They shut, they went, we're going to discuss it. Shut down the mic. And that was the end of that. But I mean, that became my thing where wow. I had a very, I have a wonderful friend, a guy named Mito Hamada. He's currently on Emerald City, the Oz Redux that they're doing. And he's an amazing actor. He's sort of, he's the guru in my life. He's my brother. He's a great human being. And he said to me once, he said, you know, look, you can't dodge the first punch. You know, you don't know how you're going to react to that first punch, but you can change how you react to the second one.
Wow.
And it became, you know, it became that thing that wow. I had to acknowledge it, but go, okay, that's separate of me. That's not something that I have to keep perpetuating.
Good for you. Well, it sounds like you're setting a wave. And actually, we called the show Full Steam Ahead for a specific reason.
Was it Titanic?
But everything so far has totally been Matt Yanking Full Steam Ahead.
I was Quartermaster Robert Hitchens on that, which is the guy who is driving the boat. And I don't know why you would let the Asian guy drive the Titanic.
Oh,
you know,
stop. See? Wow. I can't believe you did that on the Life Changers show.
Now I'm perpetuating a stereotype.
See, now, funny man. All right, so when we come back, we'll just have a few minutes. It wasn't for the Titanic. It was for the World of Steam. Hello.
Right.
So when we come back, we'd love to talk to you just for a couple of minutes about the World of Steam with Matt Yanking. And then right after that, we're going to have live music here by Maya McLean. So exciting. All on the Life Changes Show, 8-year anniversary show, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Matt Yanking. Now, we'd love to let everybody know that you could go to mattyanking.com. That's MattYanking.com, MattYanking.com, and you can learn all about what he's doing. We also have a link on our Life Changers show page to his IMDb page, where you can also see a lot of stuff. And oh, by the way, we put up one of your reels.
Don't you worry about it.
It's great. You know it is. But we just have a couple minutes, and I want to make sure we get in the World of Steam.
World of Steam. Yeah.
A Twilight Zone-like webby series.
Yeah, well, it was a web series initially, and now we've been picked up by Henson Studios, and we're developing it for television.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice.
So,
congrats.
Yeah, it's really great. It's come to fruition. It was this idea that basically, you know, after writing a bunch of screenplays, I went, okay, this is just me trying to get approval for this thing. I'm just going to go make it. And so we created it on Kickstarter. We crowdfunded it. We became the highest funded pilot ever on Kickstarter. And then we got the show going. We started developing it. And after a huge bunch of bumps in the road, we've now created this beautiful show. And yeah, it's a steampunk TV show. So we're nice. Trying to bring good science fiction, Victorian science fiction to life. H.G. Wells, yeah. Jules Verne, wow. you know, Mary Shelley kind of deep stuff, but with new characters. Because every single time you see that time period on the air now, it's still Jekyll and Hyde, it's still retreads, Frankenstein, yeah. it's all retreads. So we're going in a new direction, and you're going to love it. Worldesteem.com if you want to see it.
Worldesteem.com. Yeah. Okay, and then MattYangKing.com if you want to learn more about our guest, Matt Yang King. And, you know, we've run out of time for now. I know we'll get to do other things together, but this is also good because there are so many projects that you're involved in that Too we many. Couldn't talk about. It's like, yeah. we can't talk about that one yet. We can't talk about that. So we'll
a
have
lot
to,
of NDAs.
We'll stop right here. And then when you're back, then we'll get to talk about all the things that we couldn't talk about and whoever else you want to give homage to,
which
you have done here so beautifully. So thank you. Matt Yang King.
Thank you guys so much.
And so here's a moment of our show where Dorothy Donahue gets to join us, our executive producer, and she's so many things to so many people, and especially us. And so before the Ask Dorothy segment, I do want to say happy anniversary, Dorothy.
Thank you. I'm so excited. It's just the beginning.
She has seen this from minute one and held space and kept us going and... The glue and the vision and the heart and soul of everything we do.
Indeed. Indeed. And so before we go to our Ask Dorothy segment, Mark, do you have some people you want to shout out to?
I have a couple of shout-outs that that I'd like to give that some friends that have been friends for a part of a while of our 8 years. Robert James Studio. Robert James Company produces original large-scale metalwork installations and specializes in the design and construction of commercial, residential, event, and civic art. Rob's genius, and check him out, robertjamesstudio.com. Also, Stephen Lindstadt has been doing such wonderful work. I want to give him a shout out. ScalarHeartConnection.com. Scalar Heart is a simple process for helping people connect with their heart's innate knowing. Please check out ScalarHeartConnection.com. And our Ask Dorothy segment. Dorothy, Kimberly from San Diego asks, Dorothy, I started an anti-aging routine that felt like no big deal at the time. But since then, I keep going back for more treatments and Botox, etc. I'm addicted. How do I stop?
Kimberly, first of all, it's awesome that you've recognized that you're addicted. Awareness is the first step to any healing. There's an ongoing cultural obsession with appearances in youth, and this has spawned a growing number of plastic surgery addicts. I've had many clients who've undergone lots of plastic surgery, from Botox, facelifts, and breast implants. Fortunately for them, many have since chosen to take whatever steps necessary to love themselves exactly as they are. And after doing the work necessary to love themselves, some have even had their implants removed and stopped going in for the quick Botox treatments. Years ago, I personally looked much older than I do today. And when I show pictures of myself to my clients, they're amazed when I tell them that they're from 10 years ago. They always ask my secret, and my answer is always the same. I love myself just the way I am. It always comes back to self-love. We have many programs running in our minds from childhood where we were often told we weren't as pretty as our mothers, our sisters, our cousins. That was part of my story. When we buy into these untruths, it messes us up. You are the power in your world, Kimberly, and tomorrow is what you believe, think, feel, say, and do today. We're the creators of our realities, and unfortunately, most are creating at a very unconscious level. So let's become awake and aware of our conscious thoughts and then change them to ones that support us. You can start your day with a simple and powerful affirmation that helped me change my life for the better. I love myself enough to always do the things I know I need to do. Our higher selves know what that is. Self-love is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dorothy, for that. Okay, well, with that beautiful statement, we will be right back with our musical guest, Maya McLean, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Matt Yan King. And we've been joined in the studio by our musical guest, who is an Australian singer, songwriter, dancer, choreographer, healer, truth coach. I could go on and on. Filmmaker. I could. I mean, I just could. Not even that. I mean, you were in the film Moulin Rouge with Nicole Kidman, Surf Dude with Matthew McConaughey, and I could go on and on and on and on, too. Welcome to the show, Maya McLean.
Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Oh, you know, you and Matt have something in common. He toured with the Titanic, and you toured with Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Titanic.
Yeah, it was awful.
The original. I mean, not the original.
We won 4 Tonys.
We did. Awesome.
Yeah, how many did Lion King win?
Like eight, ten.
Anyway, but you've done so much, and you are originally from Australia. Did I say that correctly?
Australia.
And then you ended up in America. How? Because this is an interesting quick story.
Well, I really wanted to dance with Michael Jackson. And when I was a kid, my mom said, well, you just got to follow your dreams. And, you know, if you want to dance with Michael, you just got to move to Sydney. Anyway, I wanted to come over here and dance with him. And then because I started doing singing at the time, the universe kind of shifted that direction onto Prince. So I started doing background singing and dancing with him instead.
And by Prince, she means Prince, mm-hmm. like Purple Rain Prince. Mm-hmm. And, okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Is there another Prince that I'm not aware of?
Well, I mean, there's Prince of here and there. And
I've been living in a purple vortex for a while, so I don't see any other Princes out there.
Nice. Well, and so people also might know you because you've also done a lot with your sister, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my twin sister, Nandy, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you actually are twins. Okay.
Yeah, we're all twins.
Because you look a lot alike.
Yep, we both performed with Prince and toured with him, and so we were like the two girls on either side. And
that was you.
Yeah,
that was you.
Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, I needed to take a moment.
Did you watch the 2007 Yeah,
right, Super Bowl? Yes, exactly, exactly.
That was us dancing in the rain with 6-inch heels and not sleeping.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, people don't know the backstories. They have no idea. As a matter of fact, we posted, I hope it's okay, but talk about backstory. Sure. We posted on our page on the Life Changes show for you. We posted the video of you and your sister actually auditioning for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I mean, that video.
The two of you were fierce, and that's why, so, and I'm glad it got you here.
Yeah.
And then, sometimes that, and I loved it. The moment when you found out, or at least when you got on camera to say that you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Did you really cry?
No.
No. Because on camera, at least, you were like, we wish everybody, well, you did say we're among the rejects or something. But you did say we wish, for the whoever it is, we wish them luck and all that good stuff. So
by that stage, it kind of wasn't really in the flow anymore. It was just kind of doing it to fulfill on like an old dream. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Because we had already been touring with Prince at that stage. And it was like, well, this was always my dream, so let's just go for it.
Wow. Like, wow, you had grown so much away from that. That's really interesting. Yeah. Well, today has been full of surprises in so many ways. And one surprise was that I walk into the studio and there was Will Arnold. So Will Arnold is going to be accompanying you on violin, right?
Yes.
And so Will has been a friend of the show for a while now. And so great to see you, Mr. Will Arnold.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Well, let's thank Maya, because we had no idea. So
nice surprise.
Beautiful surprise. So, and what a special time to be here. So Maya, what are we going to hear?
I'm going to play a couple of songs. I'm just going to do one right now, right?
Yeah. What is it?
It's called Beautiful.
It's called Beautiful. Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
And what is it about?
It's about just people not recognizing who they are internally, and just how we live our lives not really truly knowing who we are or getting how beautiful we are.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. So let's, without further ado, here's Maya MacLean performing Beautiful live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
With your head down, don't you know just how beautiful you are? There you are. Why do you always try and hide your smile? Don't you know just how beautiful you are? So amazing, can't you see your view is crazy? I just gotta show you how beautiful you are. Face the mirror, take a look a little closer. I just gotta show you how beautiful. Care what others think. Can't you see how beautiful you are to me? There you are. All you gotta do is truly be yourself. Then I bet you'll see every piece of you I see. So amazing, can't you see a view is crazy? I just gotta show you how beautiful you are. Face the mirror, take a look a little closer. I just gotta show you how beautiful you are. Show you how beautiful you
singing beautiful, yes, Mark, beautiful indeed. If you want to learn more about Maya, you can go to www.mayamclean.com, and that's spelled MayaMclean.com, MayaMclean.com. She, of course, is on Facebook, Instagram, and all over the place. Just look Maya McLean. On Facebook, though, it's Maya.McLean.2?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's Maya.McLean.2 on Facebook. But you can find her everywhere. And wow, that, you know, coming from somebody who the world looks at, the commercial world looks at and says, she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to sing or talk about inner beauty because you just walk around and you look like you. And you're talking about inner beauty. Where did that inspiration for that song come from?
Well, it's a loaded question. No, I've been doing a lot of connecting with myself the last 6 months, and I really tapped into my purpose. And so it was all about self-love and connecting with myself and really being able to do everything in my power to show myself that I love myself in actions, in everything that I do. So I ended up leaving a full-time job that I was working and really got stubborn and committed to following my truth, and that's it.
Wow.
And I just started turning down everything that was coming to me that was out of alignment with my true purpose and my true vibration. And I've been living that way now, so all of these songs just kind of started pouring through from that intention.
Wow. Wow, this is amazing. It's what Matt was talking about, is what Dorothy was talking about in the Ask Dorothy segment, and here we are. Thank you so much. What a beautiful way to bring that forward, and you obviously are connected to something. And not just performing with artists like Chris Brown and Rihanna, but connected to your heart, because on the outside, all that looks great, but you found something beautiful inside. And thank you for sharing that as well. We get to hear another song. And what's that?
Now?
It's called Now?
No, is what we're doing
now. Now is good. What is it called?
This one's called Home.
Home. Mm-hmm. Oh, do I sense a similar theme?
Well, right now I'm going through, it's kind of in a part of the shifts that I'm going through now, and it's really interesting because I'm kind of in the middle of it.
Okay. So we don't have to talk about it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. This is what I do. I'm going through shifts of pretty much letting go of the detachment of relationship in general. And I'd connected with this beautiful soul the last couple of months, and I wrote this song just because sometimes when you meet someone and you have this idea in your mind of what your perfect relationship is going to look like,
mm-hmm.
and then you meet someone and then it shatters all of those ideas. It's kind of in alignment with that. So this story is, it's kind of in the past tense in a way, but it still kind of relates to when you have something locked in your mind and then you're limited to that. So it's especially in relationship, right? So we have this idea of a type of relationship or person or being that we want, and then something deeper comes in and it just gets rid of that whole attachment to whatever it was. So I had a beautiful shift around the attachment of the person that I thought I was going to end up with in relationship. And then this being kind of came in and shifted that whole thing. And I had this beautiful release and breakthrough out of it. And I was just like crying tears of joy. And I was, it's literally just, I'm free from the idea that I've been hanging on to for like my whole life. And so that was the shift that came out of this song. And now I'm in a different shift, which is which is letting go of the attachment of relationship altogether. The idea that limits you in that idea altogether. And it's really scary, and I'm in the middle of it right now.
This is amazing.
We need a couple more hours.
Yes, I was just about to say, I would love to see you talking, especially in front of young women, mm-hmm. about these kinds of things. As you just to hear it from you, the way you're sharing it. Yeah. Well, we'll get to share it through the songs for now, but at some point...
Right. I'm actually doing one-on-one coaching with people.
And you are.
And I assist people to connect to their true self. And pull away the layers so they can actually be who they truly are.
As a healer and a truth coach, of course. Yeah, and then the people can get connected with you through Maya McLean, MayaMcclean.com. So here is Home, performed by Maya McLean, accompanied by Will Arnold, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Since I was a child, I've had this picture in my head of the love of my life coming and sweeping me off my feet. Now you're here, unexpected in my life, and I'm scared 'cause you've shattered the pictures in my mind, and I'm falling. Can you feel me calling for your heart? And I'm waiting, anticipating on your love to come back home. Back home. We're just having some fun. We never took it so serious. You were playing around and kept me laughing at silly things you'd say. You got me, yeah, you love me with all your heart. Now moments feel empty without you by my side, 'cause I've fallen. Can you feel me calling for your heart? And I'm waiting, anticipating on your love. Come back.
Maya McLean. Wow. How do we... I can't think of a better show to celebrate our 8th anniversary. Yes. And
absolutely.
What we're about and the beautiful people that we attract and that are attracted to us and this message. Thank you so much,
Maya. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Maya McLean.
That's great.
And thank you, Will Arnold. What a pleasant, wonderful surprise. And you sound wonderful. And Matt King, yay.
Thank you.
Thank you. just yay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What can I say?
In a word.
Good show.
And,
so,
and with that, gosh, I do want to thank Brent Hahn for being with us a good chunk of this for the past 2 or almost 3 years together here on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you, Brent.
Making us sound so good here at Studio No. And, of course, BBS Radio, who we've been with since day one. And so thank you, Doug Newsom and Donald Newsom. Thank you so much. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, saying if your life has changed even just a little bit, like ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.